Good morning. I am Jonathan New, and I welcome you to worship with First Congregational Church of Natick, an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. I greet you in the name of Jesus, and I pray that by our worship this day, we might remember together the sacredness of all the works of God, to appreciate them and to care for them. I extend a particular welcome to those of you who are joining us this day virtually through our live streamed or recorded worship. Though we worship from our separate places, we are yet one in the body of Christ by the power of the Spirit. No matter who you are or where you might be on life's journey, you are warmly welcomed by this congregation and in this congregation. I have a few announcements that I'd like to offer this morning as we continue our worship. Special thanks to our worship leaders, Sarah Lynn Keller and Lane McDonough, Wayne Zaretter and Tom Foster. And thanks to Hank Zaretter and Randy Brewer for their technical expertise, which is making this live streamed worship and recorded worship possible. If this is a meaningful service to you, we hope that you will let other people who you know, your friends and family, know about it, and so that they can appreciate it as well and be a part of our worshiping community. And if for some reason this isn't a meaningful worship for you, we want to know that too. So in this time when we are adapting to the current circumstances with this coronavirus pandemic, we're still trying to do that well. So do let us know what we can do to improve your worship experience. There are recordings of this worship on our website, and DVDs are also available. So you can let us know if you would like those, and that's another way that you can appreciate and participate in worship. We have a post-worship fellowship time following worship, roughly 11:30 to 12:30 today. That happens via Zoom video conferencing, and you can find a link for post-worship fellowship on the church's website, in the link emailing, we hope that you, and also in the bulletin, and so we hope that you will do that. You can look, go to www.firstchurchnatick.org if you want more information about that. During our worship service, we always invite people to have a candle that they can light during worship. It's one of the ways that we're staying connected by knowing that the Spirit is with us all. And so that will happen immediately following the announcements. Public prayer concerns and celebrations are always welcomed. And if you email those to admin@firstchurchnatick.org, during this service, up to the time of the reflection, we can make sure that those prayer celebration concerns are lifted up during this worship. So we hope that you will do this. And one last thing for me today, we have begun a new offering that is a midweek connection and prayer time. And so that we hope that you will take advantage of that time to stay connected. It's a time to check in. It's a time to share prayer concerns. This is a time to pray together. And, you know, roughly 30 minutes on Wednesday at noon. So there are also links to that particular Zoom-based gathering in the link emailing, in your bulletin, and also on the church's website. We hope you'll check that out. Sarah Lynn.
Good morning. Just a few more announcements from me. Just remembering that we are going to be blessing some prayer shawls, and we've decided to do that the first weekend in June. So if you have a prayer shawl at home, or you've given a prayer shawl to a friend, if you could send us a photograph of those prayer shawls with the person who they're providing comfort to, would be wonderful. We appreciate that. And also just that Jonathan is available for pastoral care throughout the week, and looks forward to hearing from folks either by phone or his email address, pastor@firstchurchnatick.org. So please avail yourself of that. And next week is Pentecost, so we look forward to worshiping together and celebrating Pentecost. And to help us do that, we are asking folks to send us photographs of your family with do-it-yourself flames. So show your spirit and just how you might envision the Holy Spirit in your life, and send us those photographs to make a slideshow for next week's worship service. And then on Wednesday this week at 7 p.m., we're going to host a Zoom, what would normally be Pub Theology, but with a new moniker of Cabin Fever Theology. So even though we're still at home and connecting via Zoom, we'd love to have you join us. Bring your own munchies and your favorite beverage to the table so that we can have a conversation. And we look forward to seeing you. And you can find those connections also through the link or on our website.
Let us now light our candles together, remembering by these friendly flames that by the power of the Spirit, we are indeed one in the body of Christ, no matter how distance may divide us. And again, in this Easter season, that the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Let us continue now our worship with this responsive call to celebration.
Please join me in the responsive call to celebration. As the breezes of spring breathe new days and its sun intensifies,
the dance begins within us, and laughter bears promise, and the warmth of a new day brings hope.
We come to receive your renewal, O God.
May this worship give us eyes to see the signs of the new life you offer. Come, Easter in us, living Christ.
Please join me in the opening prayer as we say together, Holy One, as the hand is made for holding and the eye for seeing, you have fashioned us for joy. Share with us the vision that shall find it everywhere, in the leaping out of trees, in the blooming of lilacs, in the robin's flight, in a friend's face, in a child's smile, in a parent's love, in the resurrection of Jesus. Be with us in this hour and open us to your Eastering Christ by every work of your creation. Amen.
I invite you now to reach out our hands in a gesture of blessing or to place them on our hearts with the intention of opening ourselves to God's presence and meeting the spirits of others with our peace. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Sarah Lynn, it's the time for children, and I've been thinking about awesome things.
Hi, Jonathan. And what do you mean, awesome things?
Well, last week we talked about ways that we might know God, and I've been thinking about how the Bible says that God created everything, the world and everything in it, and that's pretty awesome.
It sure is.
And there are some really awesome things in the world. You see this picture, it's a picture of redwood trees in California, and it's actually a picture of my daughter's some years ago. When we all took a family trip to California, and this is in Muir Woods, and they are staring way up high at some very, very tall redwoods, these giant redwood trees. Just look at them.
Yes, and my family took a trip there as well, so I have pictures in my photo albums of my girls staring up at the trees just like that. They truly are amazing.
Pretty awesome. And these trees are some of the largest living things on the earth. Redwoods, for example, they can grow to be 300 feet tall or even taller. That's like if you laid them out on the ground, it would be like a football field long or even longer. And sequoias, another very large tree in California, those can do some awesome things as well. For one thing, they can live up to 3,000 years. And while not as tall as redwoods, they are much, much fatter. They can grow very, very, very large, and at their base, sometimes as wide across as 35 feet. One of them, called General Sherman, is the largest living thing on Earth.
Oh, they really are awesome.
But you know what? There's even something more awesome about them. Guess how big the pine cone is that these giant trees come from?
I don't know, Jonathan. How big are they?
Well, take a look. They are little. They're little. Only a couple of inches long. And the seeds themselves, which are inside the cone, those are only about the size of a flake of oatmeal.
Wow, nature has so many awesome things. And now that we're talking about all of the awesome things God did in creating the world and in caring for the world, I'm thinking about the word awesome.
Well, what do you mean, Sarah Lynn?
Well, you know, we say things are awesome, and usually we mean they're really cool or they're fun. But awesome is really about awe and that feeling of wonder we have because something is just so unusual or extraordinary or wonderful.
Yeah, you are so right.
And all this talk about awesome things in nature reminds me of what we believe about God too, that God is truly awesome and that God's love is awesome too.
That is exactly what I was thinking. You know, I hope that all of us can enjoy and take care of this awesome earth. If you look over at this picture, you'll see me staring up at the base. I'm very, very tiny in that picture, but I'm at the base of a sequoia, and I'm looking up. I hope all of us can enjoy and take care of this awesome world and appreciate it. And remember the awesome God who loves and cares for us and the earth always. And to thank God for all this too. And we can do that by praying together. So let's pray together now. Loving God, we give you thanks for so many awesome things in the world, for giant redwoods and sequoias and for all the other beauty, and for us and the life that you have given us. Help us to appreciate all of those things and this world that we can care and take care of. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. There are many awesome things in the world, and one of the awesome things in the world is the power of young people and what they can do when they use their voices and talents to bless the world. We're now going to offer a video presentation titled Together We're Strong. This is a video that features the faces of youth and young adults, as well as some of the adult leaders and volunteers and staff of the United Church of Christ's Justice and Local Church Ministries team. They were planning the United Church of Christ's every other year national youth event for this year. But as you can imagine, that is not happening this year because of COVID-19 canceled. But they have a message for us, a message to youth and a message from youth for all of us during this extraordinary time.
Just to turn away, oh, let each one fend alone. The need is too great, the injustice too strong. Oh, who are we to change the world? But in courage and love, we find together we're strong. We have wisdom, purpose, and let the gospel ignite. Holy One, be our light. We are here for a time such as this. Unite for justice. Unite for the earth. We are one in Christ. Unite in faith and humanity.
Together, we're strong. We are here for a time such as this. It's a reminder that we have many gifts to share, all of us, no matter our age, no matter who we are, no matter where we are. Gifts that if we share them together, if we build upon them, we can make a difference in the world. So let us carry that into a time of offering up our gifts, remembering that we bring them. We bring them to God to be used in God's ways to bring love to the world. We're not passing an offering plate this day. We do hope that you will continue to be generous contributors to the mission and ministry of this church, because together we are stronger. Together we can make a difference. One of the ways we do that is with the fuel that that money makes for mission and ministry in the world. But we also need you. We need you and your gifts to help us be the church. And in particular, in this time when we're trying to be the church in ways that are different for us, foreign to us, we need all of you to share your gifts. Let's hope that we can find many ways to do that in the coming days. I look forward to that. In this virtual hour of worship, then, let us bring our whole selves, and may all the gifts of our life and labor that we bring before our loving God this day work to bring about the renewal of the earth and of the world that God intends. Let us pray. Loving God, whose heart abounds with gifts, receive this offering as a sign of our intention to live surrounded by your mercy and inspired by your Spirit, open to the joy of your presence, hospitable to one another, and generous toward your world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The scripture reading today is Psalm 104. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty, wrapped in light as with a garment. You stretch out the heavens like a tent. You set the beams of your chambers on the waters. You make the clouds your chariot. You ride on the wings of the wind. You make the winds your messengers, fire and flame your ministers. You set the earth on its foundations, so that it shall never be shaken. You cover it with the deep, as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At your rebuke they flee. At the sound of your thunder they take flight. They rose up to the mountains, ran down to the valleys, to the place that you appointed for them. You set a boundary that they may not pass, so that they might not again cover the earth. You make springs gush forth in the valleys. They flow between the hills, giving drink to every wild animal. The wild asses quench their thirst. By the streams, the birds of the air have their habitation. They sing among the branches. From your lofty abode, you water the mountains. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your work. You cause the grass to grow for the cattle and plants for people to use, to bring forth food from the earth and wine to gladden the human heart, oil to make the face shine, and bread to strengthen the human heart. The trees of the Lord are watered abundantly, the cedars of Lebanon that he planted. In them the birds build their nests. The stork has its home in the fir trees. The high mountains are for the wild goats. The rocks are a refuge for the conies. You have made the moon to mark the season. The sun knows its setting. You make darkness, and it is night. When all the animals of the forest come creeping out, the young lions roar for their prey, seeking their food from God. When the sun rises, they withdraw and lie down in their dens. People go out to their work and to their labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Yonder is the sea, great and wide. Creeping things innumerable are there, living things both small and great. There go the ships and Leviathan that you formed to sport in it. These all look to you to give them their food in due season. When you give to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works, who looks on the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have being. May my meditation be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord. Here ends the reading.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Nature is my church. I often hear this when I first meet people and I tell them that I am a minister, or when I see them only on Easter or Christmas, or when they feel a bit chagrined for having chosen a round of golf over Sunday morning worship. Sometimes admitting that they're not really churchgoers, they assert that they are nonetheless spiritual. And I have to admit that while it's not the same as worship, there is an unmistakable quality to nature that speaks of the holy and how we come to know God. Now, I am not advocating nature worship here. I am just simply echoing the psalmist's appraisal of God's handiwork, stretching out the heavens like a tent and setting the earth on its foundations and covering it with oceans and so forth. This is a hymn to the Creator God. It isn't pantheism, which is the idea of identifying nature with God. It's panentheism. Panentheism, that is the idea that God inhabits all things. In other words, all of nature is of God. God is present in its presence. Gerard Manley Hopkins writes in his poem, God's Grandeur, "The world is charged with the grandeur of God. It will flame out like shining from shook foil." So Hopkins is getting at the idea that nature, which is of God, and therefore can therefore reveal God. It bears God's fingerprints, if you will. Many, however, over time have considered nature something like the other book of God, the other book of God. Asked how such a learned man as himself got along in the desert without books, St. Anthony famously replied, "Well, my book is the nature of created things, and when I wish to read the words of God, it is before me." "And there is a great book," echoes Augustine. "The very appearance of created things. Look above you, look below you, read it. God, whom you want to discover, never wrote that book with ink. Instead, he set before your eyes the things he made." And Martin Luther said, "God writes the gospel, not in the Bible alone, but on trees and flowers and clouds and stars." So how might we read this book? On a family trip that I mentioned earlier to California some years ago, I read John Muir's journals from his first summer in the Sierras. Muir had studied geology and botany and been influenced by Emerson and Thoreau. And in 1867, at the age of 29, his sight, newly restored after a serious eye injury, Muir walked 1,000 miles from Indiana to Florida, and then he traveled to California, finally arriving at the Sierras. There he would spend many years wandering and sketching and journaling. He'd become famous throughout the nation and beyond through his numerous essays and articles, convincing Congress to designate Yosemite as a national park. And the lasting legacy, of course, of helping to set in motion a national environmental movement. Equally important, he learned how to read God's other book. To read God's other book. No wonder this young man with newly restored eyesight used it then in keen observation. Wandering amidst the granite domes and sugar pine forests, Muir was in absolute ecstasy, savoring every subtle facet of Yosemite's beauty. He writes, "Never before had I seen so glorious a landscape, so boundless an affluence of sublime mountain beauty." You see, he appreciated the sublime towering trees and grand cliffs and mighty waterfalls. Jesus suggested, "Consider the lilies." Well, Muir did. Muir did. "Found a lovely lily in a shady thicket," he wrote. "It is white with a faint purplish tinge at the base of the petals. A most impressive plant, pure as snow crystal. One of the plant saints that all must love and be made so much the purer by it every time it is seen. It puts the roughest mountaineer on his good behavior. With this plant, the whole world would seem rich, though no other existed. It is not easy to keep going on while such plant people are standing, preaching by the wayside." You see, for Muir, a simple wild lily spoke volumes about life, but also about the divine. As one Muir scholar has said, beauty in Muir's eyes, like divinity, was fractal. It was present at every scale of extraordinary Sierran landscape, from lichens to lordly sequoias. Muir's Sierran experience was an awakening of human sensibility to the natural world. Moreover, he writes of a waterfall with its water music of clashing, ringing spray amid a canopy of flowering dogwoods as a holy place, where, as he says, one might hope to see God. For Muir, nature inspired an awareness of God's presence and the revelation of God's living word. Perched like a fly on Yosemite Dome, he would gaze out. He would gaze out, and as he wrote, oftentimes settling down into dumb admiration without definite hope of ever learning much, yet with the longing, unresting effort that lies at the door of hope, humbly prostrate before the vast display of God's power and eager to learn any lesson in the divine manuscript. Well, poet Mary Oliver is another with keen eyes for reading God's other book. She too has the capacity for attention and wonder that can change how we look at ourselves as well. In her poem, The Sun, she writes, "Have you ever seen anything in your life more wonderful than the way the sun every morning, relaxed and easy, floats toward the horizon and into the clouds or the hills or the rumpled sea and is gone, and how it slides again out of the blackness every morning on the other side of the world like a red flower streaming upward on its heavenly oils? And have you ever felt for anything such wild love? Do you think there is anywhere in any language a word billowing enough for the pleasure that fills you as the sun reaches out, as it warms you, as you stand there empty-handed? Or have you too turned from this world? Or have you too gone crazy for things, for the power of things?" Oliver reminds us that we miss one of the most wonderful parts of life when we turn away from the world, forgetting nature, the sacredness of creation, and forgetting its blessing. Reading nature in this way has lots of implications. It is to understand nature as the realm of God, to know, as Oliver says, that we have a place in the family of things, and so that we bear also the divine imprint ourselves. To live with reverence for the world and all its creatures, including our fellow humans, it is to appreciate God's love and care for us, to feel gratitude for God's gift of beauty in life, to discover wisdom such as the fact that life is impermanent, and therefore to live life as a precious gift. It is, moreover, to receive the Easter promise. In God's Grandeur, Hopkins says, "Nature is never spent. There lives the dearest freshness deep down things." The psalmist concurs, saying, "You renew the face of the ground." Well, this past Easter Sunday, I spoke of my experience of Easter and life renewed through the caring hands of others some years ago when I had leukemia. And yet I received Easter that year in other ways as well. Over the days and weeks of recovery, I couldn't do much else than sit in my recliner and, watch spring arrive with its testimony to the Easter resurrection. I began gradually to feel melting, to feel again as I watched melting snows and rains and the sun-warmed earth and sprouting green and bursting buds and blossoming flowers and returning hummingbirds. This year, as pandemic stay-at-home orders continue, it's happening again. Yes, I am sneezing like the rest of us with all the pollen that's in the air, but I am watching spring. I am watching spring, fully spring, and wanting to be out in it in a way that I haven't for a very long time. Now we are awake, writes Mary Oliver. Now we are awake, and now we are come together, and now we are thanking the Lord. This is easy, for the Lord is everywhere. He is in the water and the air. He is in the very walls. He is around us and in us. We make our songs for him, as sweet as we can, for his goodness. And lo, he steps into the song and out of it, having blessed it, having recognized our intention, having awakened us who thought we were awake a second time, having married us to the air and the water, having lifted us in intensity, having lowered us in beautiful amiability, having given us each other and the weeds, dogs, cities, boats, dreams that are the world. Beloved, may we live with eyes open, open to the family of things and our place in it, seeking like Thoreau, always to be alert, to find God in nature, to know God's lurking places, to attend all the oratorios and all the operas of nature, as he said. And where we see God's artistry, God's handiwork, God's creation, imperiled by those who would deny creation's sacredness, may we be faithful stewards and defenders of the divine manuscript, the living word that proclaims the good news of the new and blessed life that God offers us today and every day. May our loving God make it so. Amen. We come to a time now of bringing into our prayer celebrations and concerns that are on our hearts. We have many that are listed in our bulletin, and so I invite you to keep those in mind. I also need to speak with you about an event in the life of the church that's in our community that is of that we need to hold tenderly. It is a recent arrest of a church member on a charge relating to inappropriate advances toward a minor, despite the fact that this person didn't work with any of our church's children or youth and had no leadership within its programs for youth. We have no knowledge that any child in our church was involved in any way. And yet this has understandably created some strong reactions from our Natick community generally and from some church members specifically. I want you to know that your church leaders have and will take necessary steps, of course, to ensure the absolute safety as much as we can by policies and practices and keeping alert and many different things to ensure the safety and well-being of any of the children associated with our church. That is always going to be the case. And we're gonna also be the church as well. Fundamentally, that means that we are a praying community, bringing what weighs most on our hearts before God. So during this time, therefore, we will be offering prayers for everyone whose lives this situation touches, for individuals who are involved or affected, as well as for our church community as a whole, asking for healing and seeking wholeness. So please hold in prayer and hold tenderly these particular prayer requests. We have also, I'm sure, received some additional celebrations and concerns by email during this service. And so we turn now to Wayne Zaretter, who will offer those for us this day.
Good morning. Prayers go out to those so desperate for help and security that they make serious and irreparable mistakes. Thoughts and prayers for Amy Foley's good friend, Faith, who is in the hospital battling COVID-19. Prayers go out to June Sredder's nephew, Stuart, whose wife, Alexa, went to the hospital yesterday to await the birth of their second child. And on this Memorial Day, we pray for the dedicated men and women who serve in our armed forces, and pause in the remembrance of those who have gone before them, often serving in harm's way to protect the liberties we enjoy today.
Thank you, Wayne. Thank you. Let us pray together. We give you thanks, creating God, God of providence, God who brings everything there is into our lives. We remember you and the creation and your nurture and care. We give you thanks for the beauty of nature and the way that it can awaken in us things that nothing else can, bringing us joy, bringing us surprise, bringing us delight, and bringing us a sense of awe and wonder. We give you thanks for the bounty of nature and all the things it yields that can help build us up, the fruits from fields and from trees. We give you thanks for the ways that those upbuild us, for being your people, following your way, and being the church in the world. So many of those blessings touch on our lives, and we take them for granted. So help us to continue to be aware of how that creation and nurture continues in our lives every day by you and by this good creation that you have given us. Help us to be aware of you, to see the evidence of your handiwork, of the ways you are blessing us, in particular so that we can, out of our gratitude, care for others, care for this creation, and be the people who you are calling us to be. We arrive on this Memorial Day weekend remembering the women and men who have also given things to us, sometimes sacrificing everything on behalf of our nation and its people. They remind us that together we are strong. And so may we together appreciate and tend our community, our nation, our world, and the good creation, and our lives with each other. We pray these things, asking all of them in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen."
Thank you.
Go now, beloved, into your days, into your lives, into the good creation, and into the life of following the way of Jesus. And as you do, may the God of hope fill you with all peace and joy in believing that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you might abound in hope. Go now in the peace of Christ. Amen.